This content is AI-generated for informational purposes only and should not be directly used for clinical decision-making.
Hello and welcome back to the Neurosurgery Hub podcast. I'm Dr. Aris, a senior attending here, and I'm joined as always by our research fellow.
And I'm Dr. Alara. Today we're looking at a fascinating new study from Acta Neurosurgica, published in 2026. The paper is a systematic review titled Spontaneous Regression of Associated Aneurysms After Management of Arteriovenous Malformation. It's a topic that comes up constantly in our vascular boards and in the OR. What do we do with those pesky flow-related aneurysms once the AVM itself is tackled?
It's a classic chicken or the egg dilemma in neurovascular surgery, Alara. We know that arteriovenous malformations, or AVMs, are these complex tangles of dysplastic vessels, a nidus fed by arteries and drained by veins without an intervening capillary bed. This creates a high-flow, low-resistance conduit, and because of that chronic high flow, we often see the development of associated aneurysms.
Exactly. The paper notes that the rate of this association varies quite a bit in the literature, anywhere from 2.7% to 52%. The authors, led by Valentina Corpus Gutierrez and her team, explained that the leading theory for this is high-flow vasculopathy. Essentially, the increased blood flow through the arterial feeders contributes to aneurysm development by increasing vessel wall stress.
Right, and they categorize these aneurysms specifically. For our residents listening, remember the breakdown. 85% are flow-related aneurysms, or FRAs. These are further split into proximal, on the circle of Willis, or primary bifurcations, and distal. Then you have the intranidal ones, which the study says represent about 5.5% of FRAs. The remaining 15% are non-flow-related aneurysms, or NFRAs, located on remote vessels that have nothing to do with the AVM supply.
Which brings us to the core question of the systematic review. If you treat the AVM, whether through microsurgery, embolization, or radiosurgery, what is the actual probability that these associated aneurysms will just go away on their own?
It's a bold hope. The theory is that if you obliterate the AVM, you decrease the blood flow through those feeders, which decreases intravascular pressure, reduces wall stress, and allows for vessel remodeling. But does the data support that hope? Walk us through their methodology, Alara.
They performed a comprehensive search in May 2025 across PubMed, Embase, and Scopus. They followed the PRISMA guidelines and looked for studies involving patients over 18 with intracranial AVMs and associated FRAs. They excluded small studies with fewer than 10 patients and those involving only conservative management.
And what did the final cohort look like?
Out of 264 screened studies, only 10 met the inclusion criteria. That gave them a total of 428 patients. The mean ages across these studies ranged from 31 to 58 years. Interestingly, more than 50% of the patients initially presented with hemorrhage. As for the AVMs themselves, they were mostly Spetzler-Martin grades 1 through 3 and predominantly supratentorial.
That's a decent sample size for such a specific phenomenon. Now, let's get to the results. What did they find regarding the regression rates?
This is where it gets interesting. The reported regression rates across the studies were quite variable, ranging from as low as 3% to as high as 23%. When they pooled the data, the regression rate was approximately 11%.
11%. That's lower than some of the older, more optimistic case series might suggest.
Much lower. And the authors were very clear about a few things. There was no consistent correlation between the rate of aneurysm regression and the rate of complete AVM obliteration. They also didn't find a definitive link between regression and the specific type or location of the aneurysm.
That's a critical point for the residents. You might think that if you get a 100% cure of the AVM, the aneurysm is guaranteed to regress. But this study suggests that isn't necessarily the case. The remodeling process is clearly more complex than just turning off the tap.
They also discussed the risk of bias. Most of the studies were retrospective cohorts, and using the Robbins eye tool, they found a moderate risk of bias. They even mentioned that funnel plots suggested a possible publication bias.
Which usually means the true rate might be even lower than 11%, right? Because people are more likely to publish a case where an aneurysm miraculously disappeared than a case where it just sat there.
Precisely. The authors state that spontaneous regression should be considered exceptional rather than expected. It reinforces the need for vigilant follow-up.
Let's talk about the clinical management controversy they touched on. In our practice, if a patient comes in with a subarachnoid hemorrhage, the priority is identifying the source. If the aneurysm is the culprit, we treat that first because of the high risk of re-rupture. But if it's the AVM or if the source is undetermined, that's where the debate heats up.
Right. The paper mentions that while some literature supports treating the AVM first to induce aneurysm regression, the timing is tricky. The complex hemodynamics make it difficult to treat both at once. If the aneurysm is unruptured, some surgeons choose to wait and see if it regresses after AVM treatment, citing the decrease in intravascular pressure.
But this 11% figure really puts a damper on that wait-and-see approach for high-risk aneurysms. If I tell a patient there's only an 11% chance the second lesion will disappear, we have to have a very serious conversation about secondary treatment.
They also listed some other factors that can lead to regression besides just flow reduction, things like systemic hypotension, severe vasospasm, the use of antifibrillatics, or even local damage to the artery wall during the procedure.
It's a reminder that spontaneous isn't always so spontaneous. Sometimes it's a byproduct of the physiological stress the patient is under. So, Ilara, what are the big takeaways for our listeners today?
First, while spontaneous regression of FRAs after AVM treatment is a recognized phenomenon, it is low frequency. The highest observed probability in this review was 23%, with an 11% average. Second, you cannot rely on AVM obliteration alone to solve the aneurysm problem. There's no consistent correlation there. And finally, because it's an exceptional event, individualized treatment plans and rigorous post-op imaging are mandatory.
Excellent summary. For the medical students listening, remember that AVM-associated aneurysms are a marker of high-flow vasculopathy. If you're asked on rounds, don't say they usually go away. Say they go away in about 1 in 10 cases.
It really highlights the complexity of neurovascular remodeling. This paper from ACTA Neurosurgica provides a much-needed reality check on the statistics we quote to our patients.
Absolutely. Well, that's all the time we have for today's deep dive. Thank you, Dr. Ilara, and thank you to our listeners for tuning in to the Neurosurgery Hub podcast.
See you next time.